This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann and Dashan Johan. So before the break, we were talking about why it's so important to remove legal barriers as well as discrimination for refugees and even illegal migrants at the moment to get their tests done for COVID-19 for the collective good. And now moving on to our second story, we have a question on Twitter.
So we're asking you, how is the movement control order affecting your relationship with your significant other? Well, right now the results, the highest is 42% at same as always. 26.5% of you say it's challenging, but you're coping. 17% says you're better than ever. But there's another 14.5% of you who say it's getting tough. So you can keep taking that poll or share your experiences with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So yes, with the movement control order being extended to April 14, in order to stem the COVID-19 pandemic, we are all spending much more time at home and hopefully also practicing social distancing. But this can be challenging for people in relationships in many ways.
Yes, and here's what's interesting, right? Because so now you have people from all spectrums when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. So there are those who can't see their partners or significant others at all because they don't live in the same place. So when they want to practice social distancing, many aren't seeing each other. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you also have couples who share a home and are now being forced to spend almost all their time together indoors. Mm-hmm.
And of course, then you also have the singles who might still want to date or meet people, but of course you can't at this time because we are all supposed to stay at home.
Mm. So this got us thinking. To take inspiration from Gabriel Garcia Marquez's famous novel, what does love in the time of COVID-19 look like? How is it affecting and shaping relationships? And how are people coping with this very different way of communicating and socializing that we are forced to do right now?
Well, as always, the internet is a goldmine of ideas. So there are so many articles and lists and threads already on how couples are managing their relationships while being under quarantine or practicing social distancing. For couples apart, for instance, many are doing virtual date nights or movie dates. I know a little bit something about that.
Okay, we're totally going to ask you later.
Okay, so virtual date nights, movie dates, where they both watch movies at the same time or even order dinner from the same restaurant and eat together while video calling. And meanwhile, for couples stuck indoors, people are talking about having board game nights or cooking more together or working out together. But equally, they are also talking about the need to spend time apart and how it's important to divide chores and responsibilities fairly while at home together.
Mm. I've been reading about couples living together who are still establishing working hours versus family time, or actually listing out chores and dividing them. And of course, and if you have children, managing them becomes a large part of your day as well.
Mm. At times like this, it's unavoidable that the challenges that a couple is already facing, it will be amplified, whether because of the distance or the proximity, right? Both of that, coupled with the fact that the rest of our usual daily routines are so different now, you have fewer distractions, issues might seem larger than usual, or it might just become unavoidable at some point.
Mm. So to get more insight into this, we do have on the line counsellor Rosie Khalid. So Rosie, there are basically two kinds of couples at the moment. The kind who can't see each other at all and the kind who are with each other all the time. So what are the challenges each of these are likely to face?
Well, I think for those who are staying away from each other, I think it's quite clear that the distance itself is an issue. So we're seeing couples now doing something along the lines of long-distance relationship. So, and I think likely being in this... currently, like where we are, I think there's a lot of technology that we can use to bridge that gap. So I think it's not too bad. As for the couples who are staying together, I think that can be quite challenging to some, depending on how their relationship is. So if you have an underlying issue that's already there and it's not being addressed or it has not been addressed, then I think that could resurface during this control movement period, yeah.
Mm. So then what would your advice be for couples who are currently forced to be apart?
I think it's the same as LDR. It's the same as long-distance relationship, right? And I think this is where I'm going to be a bit vague, but different couples they have different needs. So it depends on the relationship itself. So some are actually fine with not having too much interaction. So this is where you need to set the expectations with your partner, whether we're going to have a frequent chat throughout the day or whether it's going to be something that we're going to do sparingly. And then are we going to do a video call? You know, so sometimes you see couples being on the video call, but they're doing different things, right? So they're not exactly talking to each other. So just virtually, just being present, virtually. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sufficient for some couples, right? Yeah, so I think this is where couples actually need to talk and set some expectations and see what they want throughout this control movement period.
Hmm. So then what about couples who are now forced to be in the same space together all the time?
Now, this one is quite tricky, right? Because you're sharing the same space. And I think there's so many variables, there's so many factors that we need to take into account here. So if you have a small space, right, if you're staying in an apartment or a condo, I think you have smaller space compared to a double-story house. And I think why I'm saying space is because it is actually an important thing to think about. Because when you're actually working, you are away from your partner, right? So that gives you some alone time. Or if you need to do things, you know, there are things that you can always do by yourself without your partner there. And so that gives you, again, an alone time. But now currently, couples need to really work towards sharing the space. And I think one of the things that I would like to highlight here is boundaries. I think it's important that couples have boundaries. So, you know, different people, they have different needs, right? Mm-hmm. And they tend to do things differently. You don't want to be doing everything together in a day, right? And now that we've got this control movement order extended, we want to make sure that we draw some of these boundaries, whether it's doing things separately, having alone time, being in separate spaces as well, I think, if that's possible. And I think ultimately here, it's actually about respecting differences.
Mm. So then what about people who are embarking on new relationships, if they just met or they're just getting to know each other right now and are now forced to do it from a distance?
I think this is also the same as the long-distance relationship as well. There are so many creative ways that you can still stay connected. Currently, we have a lot of these video calls, a lot of these technologies that you can actually use. And I think online as well, there's so many different ideas that people have come up with to suggest what are different things that couples can do to make it interesting. So having like date nights or, you know, having dinners together, watching movies together, but, you know, in their own space, in their own homes. And I think those are really great ideas for couples to actually consider.
Rosie, you know, in general, people are just more anxious and stressed right now as well. How would this impact their relationships with their significant others?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that anxiety can be projected onto your partner, right? So I think we need to be very careful with projecting our own anxiety to our partner. It can be very overwhelming, no doubt. And I think one of the reasons why it can be very overwhelming is because we have constant exposure to social media. And I think if you're a lot on social media and you keep reading or watching all this news, it can be very overwhelming. And having all this anxiety, you may project it onto your partner. So you want to be careful with that. At the same time, you don't want to displace the anxiety onto your partner. So basically, you don't want to, you know, sometimes it's easy to treat someone like a punching bag. Mm. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to be careful with that. You want to be aware of your own anxiety and managing that. And I think this is where, like, if you feel it's too overwhelming for you, I think it's important that you reach out to your partner and say, look, you know, I think I'm feeling quite overwhelmed here. So you want to reach out to your partner and see how your partner can actually support you during this time. That being said, I think effective communication is very important here, right? Listening is very important here. So you need to be able to understand what your partner is actually going through.
That was Counselor Rosie Khalid talking about the challenges that couples face during this time of social distancing.
Tell me about it.
So yes, we are now here to talk about your experience with that, because you and your girlfriend are apart, right?
Yeah. So it's actually been a little bit frustrating, to be honest, because my girlfriend just got back from the UK, you know, where we already did long distance relationship. And then, you know, this whole thing happened, and then now she's back in her hometown with her family and all. But we are coping, right? We have to find interesting ways to keep the spark alive, as they say. Mm-hmm. So basically what we are doing is we have these Skype sessions where we press play together and watch a movie or a series. So we have like weekly...
So cute. Yeah.
So we have like weekly movie nights or whatever. So we get on Skype and then we are like, okay, 1, 2, 3... play, and then we play together and then we watch it. But I guess now with Netflix party, we don't have to coordinate the timings again. Mm. Yeah.
I think that's really fascinating, right? How technology has sort of like swooped in during this time and has provided a much needed avenue for a lot of people, for couples who are living apart or even couples who are living together, because now, you know, you can go watch your own TV shows in your own separate rooms to have your time apart as well.
Yeah. For me, I'm not in a relationship currently, but because I was sort of on the cusp of getting to know a couple of people that I just went on a couple of dates with. And we're in this like odd space now where...
Yeah, that sounds tricky, right?
Yeah, because you're kind of like, we're not close enough to like do a watching party.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we still want to get to know each other. Mm. So it's interesting. I do think technology helps because, you know, when you're chatting or when... it's also like you can play games together, for instance. Mm. So you're like, hey, you know, let's download this app and we can both play. Or let's talk about a movie we just watched, or you know, so I do think that that helps in some senses. I find that maybe the forced proximity might actually be the bigger challenge for a lot of people, where if you're stuck in the same space together and you have to get through your daily life like that.
Also, like, I think when you're apart also, like, one of the things that we have to do, like at least like that's something that I do, is we have to find ways to, you know, creative ways to be intimate, you know. So that's also a bit tricky, but, you know, I guess we have to do what we have to do.
Yeah, I remember when I was in a long distance relationship, actually almost for a year actually. The biggest challenge is feeling connection because you're so far away, you know, you don't have physical comfort, you know, so then you the feeling of like, well, how do I, you know, if I'm sad or if things are not going well in a time like this, a lot of people have a whole mixed bag of emotions. It is difficult getting that sense of connection. And you do have to try, I think, to consciously make it happen.
Yeah, well, we have an anonymous WhatsApp that sort of illustrates the flip side of that, right? Of being forced to be in close proximity to each other. So this WhatsApp says, this whole experience of staying at home while working, also keeping children entertained and keeping the household running, only underscores the gender inequality between partners in terms of family responsibilities. Women bear disproportionately unfair burden, even though the female and male partner technically have the exact same responsibilities. Both have to keep working, both should contribute equally to household and childcare duties, especially when there is no helper involved. And yet the mental and emotional burden of maintaining children's routines, dealing with the child's frustrations, planning meals, for example, these largely fall on women. And women instinctively put the family's needs first, men their own needs first. So does this come as a surprise? No. But during this period, when all other variables are eliminated, it only emphasizes how unbalanced the so-called partnership is.
Thank you for writing in. I think that brings up a really, really good point. And that's what we said earlier as well, that the sort of existing challenges that we already face when it comes to relationships...
Now amplified.
Yeah.
We were also asking you on Twitter, how is the movement control order affecting your relationship with your significant other? Right now, 41% of you still say it's the same as ever. 28% 8% of you say it's challenging, but you're coping. 17% of you say you're better than ever. But 14% of you say it is getting tough.
We'll check in 2 weeks, guys.
We also have another WhatsApp comment from Sita saying that the worst part about this movement control order is not dealing with the kids. It's keeping the overgrown baby, aka the husband, entertained. Being the recalcitrant that he is, this MCO goes against every fibre of his being. So I find myself not only trying to get work done from home and find ways to keep the kids happy, but I have to constantly threaten the husband with police action every time he even thinks of leaving the house. God bless my helper for being such a steadfast support in these times.
So yes, that's quite a variety of experiences there. I find it, yes, I do find that these gender imbalances that often we take for, I think a lot of men especially take it for granted, ends up becoming so much more difficult to deal with at times like these. And I hope those of you listening to this show.
Coming from a man, so to other men out there, you know, help your wives or girlfriends or whatever, you know, don't let them do everything by themselves.
Some good advice from Dashan, and then you can have your movie date as well. So that is all the time we have for you today, but you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture, if you'd like to drop us a message there. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can also download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app and on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m, we will be revisiting our By the Book episode from earlier this week, where Lee Chwilin and I talk about things that we've been reading during this time indoors, and celebrating World Poetry Day as well. So we will be leaving you now with Stuck With You by Huey Lewis and the News on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.